Noisy Sunday. Barbara, have you done Noisy Sunday with us ever before? I don't know that... other churches, but I don't think you'd ever experience that wildness here. You doing all right? I mean, I don't... No, how did that fit for having a noisy Sunday on Easter? I mean, all things considered, noisy Easter is not the noisy church event that some of the other events. Look at Christmas. I mean, Christmas, there's a lot of music and song and celebrations and, I mean, decorations, and it's pretty wild stuff going on there. And Palm Sunday, the Palm Parade that's a celebration, and the people shouting Hosanna and palm fronds and cloaks on the path for Jesus. A beautiful, wonderful celebration and a lot of noise. But on Easter, well, they go to the tomb and they're pretty surprised. He's not there. He's risen. And different versions of the Gospels, they go and the women go and tell the men, and the men just think it's an idle tale. I don't believe. That happens. It's still happening today. But there's no celebration on Easter morning. What's wrong with that? Is that the way it should be? I mean, I don't know. I got to thinking about it. We were putting the bulletins together and everything, and I called up Barbara. I said, Barbara, what's the most inspirational Easter music we can sing and do? And we talked and went on and whatever. We sang Hosanna. Wasn't that wonderful? And the choir, the ensemble, hallelujahs. And so we did some of those, but not quite as many. And I thought about it, and for me, music is a conduit for deeply emotional things. I can listen to a piece of music and I'm just in tears. I don't know if that's true for you, and I don't know if it's true for our modern age that includes a video and the audio and movements and merchandise, and I don't know. I hope so. Kind of a funny aside. I'm going to date myself, but there's this group by the name of Queen. You might have heard of them. When I was in high school, they were pretty hard rock, and I didn't follow them real closely, but I was driving one night, and I heard this song come on the radio. It was called Bohemian Rhapsody. And I was so astonished. I mean, the radio station was a rock station, but I was so astonished, I pulled off to the side of the road and sat there and listened to it. I thought, what is this? Did I switch channels? It was that inspirational to me at that time. I remember distinctly, that's a true story. Then life went on, and my daughter's growing up, and Sarah came up to me one day. She said she was in high school, and she said, Dad, you've got to hear this great song I just heard, Bohemian Rhapsody. It wasn't nearly as cool to her once she found out that I already knew it and had come out when I was in high school. But music is like that to me. I don't know if it is still the case today, but I would like to have the Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus. You know, the whole Messiah I've never seen, and I understand it's quite complex, and unless you know your Bible well, you get lost pretty easily, but the Hallelujah chorus is incredible. And you hear that, and I think, that's what we should do this morning. But like 99% of all churches, Christian churches, we don't have a full orchestra and a full choir and, you know, all of the things going on there. So we can't quite do that. We could do it on a video. And we saw that this morning. We could have watched that video, and it would have been entertaining. But when the kids are up here doing it with it, that's different. There's something live happening. Something in us says that something on a video or whatever is, well, we know it's the video, it's mechanically reproduced. It's not the same somehow. It's not real. Christ's resurrection is real. That's an interesting part. Christ's death on the cross was real. and he's alive again, that's real. And the gift to us is real. It is incomprehensible, but it's real. A lot of people just can't figure it out and can't believe it. And it is pretty amazing. I'm going to jump a little here and ask, do you ever wonder what Christ wrote down? The only memory we have, scriptural, is when he wrote in the sand in his finger. That's about all. He didn't write. He was literate. I mean, remember him teaching in the temples? How could a man, you know, how he knows all the scriptures? He was well-educated, literate, so he could have written out a beautiful treatise for us. But he didn't write anything. All we have in the Gospels are the accounts of the people that he touched, which is pretty darn impressive. And through those, God is speaking to us, no doubt. But I wonder if one of the reasons Jesus didn't write things down is because he didn't need to transmit them in words and sentences. One of the things that has been a surprise to me and a growing edge, I just started ministry recently, 1990, I think it was. So I'm just getting going. I'm just getting my feet wet. But one of the things I've discovered is, especially if you read an annotated Bible, they'll have these little marks at the bottom and little footnotes and things and say, well, some scriptures include this and some omit this and some say it says this. I love it when you get into Psalms and it says, the meaning of this passage is very confusing. They just can't quite figure it out. I mean, the time has passed enough that they don't get the analogy. They don't understand what it means today, and so they have to kind of note that. And I think the textual words can not only become confusing, by the time we get into translations, even more confusing, but they can also be challenged. You know, you make a rule. I thought I'd be a great parent. I had a set of rules to do everything, and it did not work out well. Because you write down a rule or you have a rule, and then you've got to figure out, well, there are exceptions, you know. So how do you work? Good example, one of the rules is Jesus said, love your neighbor. Actually, it's in the Old Testament. It's straightforward. It's clear. It's there, and nobody debates that it's very much the center of who and what we're supposed to be. But then some people said, well, okay, but who's my neighbor? I don't have to love them, do I? You know, those ones I don't want to love. The neighbor on the one side, I love those guys, but those guys next door, they listen to rock and roll. Who knows? For whatever reason, we determine somebody that we don't want to love, and so maybe they're not our neighbor. And one of them asked Jesus that question. Well, Lord, who is my neighbor? And he told them the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, you've heard of Good Samaritans, haven't you? Tell you a true story. This happened on, was it Saturday? It was Saturday, just Saturday. Holy Saturday, the couch. These two old folks from this church here decided to, somebody had left us a couch, donated us an old couch, been sitting there for a month. People figure they can just dump it in the parking lot and we'll get rid of it. But these two old, worn down, gray-haired church members decide to go get rid of it. And so I said to Rich, these two guys said to each other, let's just tie it to the back of your truck and we'll pull it back in the back at least so it's out of view. And we were figuring on how to do that and we're pulling over. This pickup truck just drives in and this gal and this guy hop out and they said, we're going to help these fellas. And you know, not only did they say, well, we'll help move it. They had a bigger truck and they threw it in the back. They hauled it up. We got a bigger dumpster, they said. I looked at Rich and he looked at me and I said, Grace, wow, that's impressive. They were driving by and the guy had said to the gal, he said, we're going to go help those men. Talk about a holy Saturday. Things like that happen a lot more than we realize and remember and acknowledge. Put that in the front of your mind the next time you put on the evening news and think everything's bad. Remember a lot of good things happen. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So the law of love thy neighbor, you can start debating that and start pushing the edges of it. But God had that in mind anew, and so he said, I'm going to write my laws on your hearts. Write them right on your hearts. You know them. Through this Holy Spirit that is going to come down. Pentecost is coming, but it came last year, so we can use that. But the Pentecostal Spirit coming down, giving you and infusing in us the knowledge and the awareness that the laws of God of love are there, and they're in the middle with us. Peter is talking. Debbie did a good job of introducing that. He's with Cornelius, with the people of Caesarea Philippi. And he tells the whole story. He tells the biblical story, the good news. He shares all of what has happened and who's why we're here and what we're about. And it's a beautiful encompassing of what Easter is the culmination of. And we celebrate that. And it's the good news. And I wonder why Hollywood hasn't made a movie of that. This morning, family came in and said they had watched the Ten Commandments last night or the night this weekend, whatever. Good movie, made in, 59? How come we haven't made a new one every year? But, you know, they talk about high cinematic moments. The Easter morning isn't one. Now, the birth of Jesus, that's amazing. The shepherds in the field and the heavenly host opens up. Boy, I can see choirs and angels and computer-generated graphics. And talk about an amazing scene. But Easter morning's different. It reminds me of this fellow Elijah, the prophet in the Old Testament. You remember him? He's sharing God's word, but people don't want to hear it. And in fact, he's feeling pretty lonely and pretty put upon, and he's on the run from getting in trouble. And he goes and he hides in a cave. God says, I'm going to appear before you, Elijah. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. I was going to shake the pulpit to make an earthquake, but it's too solid. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. That may be an oxymoron, but that's what the text says. Sheer silence. And then the voice of God came to Elijah and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That still, small voice, that spoke to Elijah. That spoke clearly, maybe from his heart where God had placed it. Amazing things that God has done. Amazing things that are going on and shouting and carrying on may not be the way that God wants us to share them. Now, does that contradict what I've been saying about how music is something that moves me deeply and is the vehicle to bring things to people? I wonder if still small voice of God during the silence is God speaking to us. And we have to pause and listen. We have to slow down and stop and put everything aside. We have to put our smartphones away and our computers and our pagers. That's an old term, isn't it, now? Turn off everything, all of the noise around us. When I had a family with kids, that never happened. But we have to pause and listen for the still small voice of God. And then it is, I believe, that humanity responds to the blessing of God with that music and that sound and that celebration. Maybe that's the way that is to be. So this Easter morning, I don't know what you're doing after this, and I shouldn't have mentioned it because now all your thoughts are going, where are we going for lunch? Who's going to be there? What are we going to have? I'm getting hungry. Wish the preacher would hurry up. But on this Easter morning, pause a minute. Stop and listen. I can hear the fan from the organ. That air is ready to burst forth with song when Barbara directs it. And there's a few other noises. After a winter storm, the snow will slide off the roof and make big thunking noises in here. But we can pause and still find the silence. And we stop and we listen when the Lord speaks to us. Because the words of the Lord are written on our hearts, and we know them and we can share them. And after listening, then we can pause, we can turn, and we can shout for joy, and we can say, He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah.